Welcome in hour number two of the Early Line right here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you. We, during this hour, will, of course, bring you a nice Major League Baseball preview here on a Wednesday. Sadly, we are not on the heels of a Dinger Tuesday, but a Baseball Tuesday nonetheless. We'll also talk about the MVP market in the NFL and go over our Super Bowl predictions, where the value on that board does lie. But we will start off with some NFL news and notes, some ins, some outs, but of course, some running back news. We've mentioned it already, Donnie. Le'Veon Bell signs with the Baltimore Ravens, joining the practice squad, but all signs indicate that he will soon be on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, you need some help on this football team, right? Because you're taking a look at guys that have been lost for the season, J.K. Dobbins. You're really going to lean on Gus Edwards. You still need a veteran presence. And maybe there's not a lot left in the tank for Le'Veon Bell, Kevin, for the Ravens. But if there's something left in the tank, that could help them. There's still time to make trades. There's still time to evaluate. There's still time to sign other players from other teams' practice squads if you do need them. I think this was one of those emergencies that, hey, it's going to come cheap here. We get a veteran guy who's been around the NFL. We don't want to have to break in a young kid here to start the season. So it might work out in their favor. Maybe a rejuvenated Le'Veon Bell as well, saying, hey, I got a real chance here, as opposed to coming in as a fourth option at running back that he might have been for the Kansas City Chiefs. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the regular season. I don't know how much he's going to be used, if at all, at this point, but it is an insurance policy. It's a big name. He's been around that division as well, which might be big. Then we'll see how it plays out. Do I think it's going to be a huge impact for the Ravens? No, I don't. But it'll be fun to watch it play out to see if maybe he has a resurgence here with the Baltimore Ravens in 2021.
And all in all, Donnie, you know, Le'Veon Bell wasn't that bad last year. He averaged 4 yards per carry. Pro Football Focus grade didn't really take much of a dip from where we had seen him over the past couple of seasons with the New York Jets. Is he ever going to regain his status as the league's best running back, which, yes, he absolutely did own at one point? No, I don't believe that to be the case, but can Le'Veon Bell come in and split work with a Gus Edwards here, who's not a traditional three-down running back or certainly not used to that kind of a workload? Yeah, absolutely, no problem, right? So I think it's a nice move here for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think all in all, an opportunity to bring in a player like Le'Veon Bell, who I'm sure will be very, very motivated to perform well for that football team, is a nice move. The other running back news that we saw, Donnie, in terms of an out here, in terms of being released, Latavius Murray, surprise, kind of final hour maneuver here, being cut, who's been a good, legitimate number two option next to Alvin Kamara for the New Orleans Saints for the past couple of seasons.
I can't understand this, and I don't understand why it comes just a few days before the season. This guy had a very good year last year, a nice little 1-2 punch, spelling Alvin Kamara, can run between the tackles, you know, punch in some goal line runs, short yardage situations. I thought it worked out well. So now you're going to lean a lot more on Alvin Kamara, which is not a bad thing. If you're betting the New Orleans Saints, the more Alvin Kamara you get in the game plan, the better it seems for your team total bets, your, you know, in-game team total bets, season total bets, game itself, totals, whatever. More Alvin Kamara is good. But how much do you want to use the guy here? Is he going to be lining up more at wide receiver? Is he going to be lining up at the backfield? Are you going to overuse Alvin Kamara when he's good, playing at that even pace and that even level? Dwayne Washington, Tony Jones Jr., okay. Getting rid of Latavius Murray when you weren't, it wasn't like you, the salary cap was so bad, Kevin, you couldn't start this season. I don't understand this move. There has to be more than meets the eye here.
I agree with you on that. Radio audience in full effect here, by the way. I appreciate everybody listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Wednesday morning. The Latavius Murray thing is odd because Alvin Kamara is the best wide receiver on the New Orleans Saints roster right now in terms of at least active players, with Michael Thomas being sidelined. They're going to need Alvin Kamara to have a monster workload for this football team, and one that I think he'll be ready to have, but he has been accustomed to, you know, kind of a split-ish situation with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. Last year, Alvin Kamara had 187 carries in his 15 games. Lat Murray had 146. It's not a massive gap. It's a considerable workload. Even go to the year that Latavius Murray 2 years ago, had 146 yards, averaging about 4.5 yards per carry. He's been a good football player for the New Orleans Saints and not something that I think they should just be moving past. And Donnie just went through the depth chart there. Doesn't inspire as much confidence there. This is a very odd move here and one that I don't think the Saints are probably one that they should be too happy about. And, you know, kind of, you know, a little money discrepancy there, maybe asking him to take a pay cut. Very, very odd doings. Donnie, we also got some, you know, news, and this is going to probably become the regular news cycle here. Again, we're kind of getting back into the swing of things with the NFL, some guys that are confirmed in. And one that I definitely thought was significant was DeAndre Swift for the Detroit Lions. We just did season-long player props in hour one. There was one guy I considered an under on, and it was actually DeAndre Swift, because we start the season with some uncertainty around his health, but it looks like he'll be a full go against the Niners.
Yeah, we'll see if that groin injury creeps up, because that's a devastating injury, particularly for a running back, Kevin. Jump cuts in the hole, burst to the outside. That directly affects it, and those can be re-injured very easily, just like a hamstring. Talented running back, and they would factor in leaning on him heavily in 2021. Jared Goff's your quarterback, some question marks to say the least at wide receiver. Maybe question marks on the whole team. You would like him to be healthy. I bring him along slow here. I don't know how much usage rate he's going to be in week one here for me, Kevin.
That's going to be a really interesting thing to see with Swift. Also heard Noah Fant will be playing for the Denver Broncos in that game against the New York Giants. Up next right here on the early line, we're breaking down the NFL MVP market. Keep it right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on Sports Grid, the NFL MVP market is always an interesting one and always a fun one to break down. The reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, 48 touchdowns last year, unbelievable. His third time winning this award. He's the second choice on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 10-1. Donnie and I, though, have both had a couple of players that jumped out, catch our eye, and make sense in this market. We'll talk about some of the others, but Donnie, let's just talk about the two guys that we're kind of both looking to win this award here, and I'll let you start.
Yes, and I'm going to go with Josh Allen, 12-1 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which last week he was at 13-1, so the sharp minds, Kevin, are certainly along with me right here, betting down this price, and it goes without saying. For an MVP candidate, let's see what you want out of it, right? You need big numbers. We all know that. But to buoy an MVP candidate, a Cy Young candidate, you know, anything that you're looking for an MVP in any league for an award, you must have a good football team around you. And the Buffalo Bills do have that. So this is finally that year where you're coming into saying, maybe they can knock off the New England Patriots. No. They're going to knock off the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins and take first place in the division. So it's a regular season award. Forget what happens in the playoffs. Forget a clunker in round one or round two, or even if they go on and win the Super Bowl, it does not matter. I'm looking for a very good regular season football team, which the Bills will have. I'm looking at one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL, which Brian Daboll, what he did with Josh Allen last year was a miracle. And if he can continue on that same wavelength and continue to get better, the sky is the limit for Josh Allen. I think the yards will be there. I think the wins will be there. And that is enough for me to enter into the race at MVP. Because keep in mind also, Kevin, I'm not talking about plus 100, plus 125. You're getting a price of over 10-1, which again sits right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 12-1. Josh Allen is my MVP. I think he takes another step in the regular season. And that's half the battle with winning the MVP.
Now, I have to be very careful with what I say here. Because I somehow was accused of calling Josh Allen's third season in this league a fluke, despite never saying that. What I will say, though, is, Donnie, 37 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, 4,500 yards, and completing almost 70% of his passes is a phenomenal season for any quarterback. And that's the one thing about Josh Allen that will be very fun to follow. is that going to become the consistent level that we see from Josh Allen? Or as you're kind of saying here, is Josh Allen about to take another leap on top of that? Because I'll tell you this, Donnie, if he takes another leap on top of that, we're talking 40 touchdown passes here, getting maybe even near that 5,000-yard mark, which, by the way, with 17 games could become more and more plausible. And that Bills team is as good as seemingly so many people believe they will be. Then, yeah, Josh Allen is going to be in the thick of things. Again, last year finished third in voting for this award, second or third. I don't remember the exact order between Rodgers, Mahomes, and Josh Allen. But he was phenomenal. And I have to, give him a lot of credit for the leaps that he has made in his career, and it'll be really fun to see if he's going to be a perennial contender for this award. Right now, tied with Brady for the third choice. My pick here, Donnie, is not a one that you have to travel far down this board for. I know we don't like to go with chalk, a little spice to things here. I've gone through this award all offseason long. I've pulled everybody's ear that I could. Hey, man, when you go through that MVP board, who jumps out to you? Hey, you go through that, who jumps out to you? The answer is not that I've always gotten back, but the answer that I keep coming back to, Donnie, is Patrick Mahomes at plus 500. Half the next closest quarterback. Almost basically, Donnie, we talk about reading lines at times, right? Ooh, that's a Broncos line. Ooh, that's a Tampa Bay Rays line. It feel like a Mahomes line. Like, yes, plus 500 Patrick Mahomes because he's by far and away the best quarterback in this sport here. And there's a couple of things that make this Mahomes number, though, worth the play for me. First of all, again, even the low man on Mahomes thinks he's, what, the third best quarterback in the league here. Patrick Mahomes will have the ability to put up mammoth numbers this season. And by the way, he's the favorite to have the most passing yards in the NFL. Plus 300. The most passing touchdowns in the NFL, plus 300. If you're cashing those tickets, don't you think he's going to win MVP at plus 500? Also, just looking at the history of Mahomes in terms of where he will land historically, he's going to win this award more than once. We know that is going to be true. Plus 500, I might just bet Mahomes will win MVP for the next 4 years at this kind of a price. And eventually, I'll find myself profitable because we know he's going to win this award. And the other thing that I'll add on top of this, while again, is he the chalk? Is he the favorite? Yes, he is. But plus 500 is a big enough number that when this eventually in week 14 is a two-horse race, if I have any uncertainty, let's say it's Mahomes and Josh Allen's down the home stretch, I can hedge. Plus 500 is still a big enough number to make that kind of a move. And by the way, Mike Trout was like plus 130 to win American League MVP this season. Luka Doncic is lower than 5-1 to win NBA MVP this season. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the sport, Donnie. And at plus 500, I still think there's value on him to win MVP this coming season.
Look, when you're picking MVPs, Kevin, as we like to say on the show, you have to be for the people out here. Now, if we rewind back the show a couple months ago, there's a guy on the show that said, hey, man, Shohei Ohtani's a really good baseball player. He's going to win it. You came out and said, I think he's a very average baseball player. Maybe Vladdy Jr. should be in the... I said, hey, hold on here. We'll see how it ends up. Looks like he's going to win. Now, the people have spoken once again. I'm like, hey, Josh Allen is a really good quarterback. He should be able to get in the MVP race and might be able to win it. You sort of poo-poo Josh Allen, say, hey, you know what? Maybe he's a little bit of a fluke here. Not too sure we're going to see in 2021. So I think looking at the overall numbers here, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, I think the people have spoken, Kevin, and I'm for the people here. We are Team Josh Allen on the show here. We're not going to let you poo-poo this guy in the 2021 and just take Patrick Mahomes. I think that's the path we're headed down.
It's so interesting to watch the people turn against me. It felt like I was initially for the people in so many of these ways. It felt like, I struggle with my memory sometimes, Donnie. It felt like I brought up Shohei in a positive light day in and day out. And then all of a sudden, somehow, because I said Vladdy was having a great season, I hated Shohei Ohtani. It felt like I was using Josh Allen as a positive example as to why teams shouldn't be giving up on quarterbacks so early. And it turns out I hate Josh Allen. And it turns out maybe I'm not for the people in the way that I thought. It's incredible. What's that Joker
Somebody's
thing?
Gotta
you
be the
live
heel.
Long enough to see yourself become the villain. It turns out that's old KW. Yeah, a little heel turn. Little Adam Cole kind of situation right off of the bat here. Let me ask you this, Donnie. When you were going through this market, was there anybody outside of the two guys that we've talked about here that caught your eye, whether it be another one of these players sub 2-1 or maybe anybody kind of further down the board with some juice?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, as the summer went along, you change what you like and what you think is going to take place. And then once, you know, everything gets underway in week one, you're sort of settling in. And I can't get enough of the Cleveland Browns right now, Kevin. So if you try to say, and look at opening day, if Cleveland can go in and beat the Kansas City Chiefs here, you know, that gives a boost to that team. But you know who probably played well? Baker Mayfield. He sits at 26-1 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP. If I think they're going to win the division over the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I do, which means they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be a good football team, which probably equates to 12 or possibly 13 wins or more in the regular season. Baker Mayfield's going to have a lot to do with that, Kevin. So 26-1 is a sort of a longer shot. Never thought I would say this, but if he has a good season, which I expect him to do, Cleveland will have a good season. He might be in the running and might be worth the ticket there at the 26-1 price.
It's not bad. A lot of people think the Browns are going to have a monster year. I'll tell you this also. We always help FanDuel out, giving the absolute best ideas for odds boost constantly. Call it the 17-1 club and give us some boost on Dak, Russ, Lamar, and Stafford all at 17-1. I have to figure out the boost. I don't know. What do you make? Like 8-1? One of those four win MVP. We've seen Lamar win this. We know they want to give Russ this award at some point there. The narrative for Stafford is far too easy. People in Los Angeles are going to be crying beautiful tears watching a real quarterback. Jared Goff stinks, man. Can you believe that I had to argue whether that guy was a top 12 quarterback last year? Waste of my time. Oh, and then Dak Prescott. Again, look, even a Birds fan will tell you, that guy puts up monster numbers, and there'll be some big opportunities. We'll talk about some of those quarterbacks. We'll talk some Super Bowl predictions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, hanging out with you. The NFL season kicks off tomorrow. That feels good to say. Very, very excited for this action to pick up, get into high gear. And again, Donnie and I have gone through it all at this point. Season-long player props, official plays, our number one, went through it all. We just did the NFL MVP. We did division-by-division breakdowns, building up to this point here to go through and give you our Super Bowl predictions, which essentially would be your conference winners and then, of course, your outright Super Bowl winner. And I'll just say, Donnie, as I was kind of diving through this market personally, I found myself kind of narrowing things down to teams that, you know, a select few. And I was siding with the value because, again, we're going to, you know, we're putting legitimate dollars behind the things that we are saying here on today's shows. Like, I'm betting Mahomes to win MVP. I'm betting Jalen Hurts is over rushing prop here. And I'm going to have myself a taste of my Super Bowl prediction. Once again, I'll let you bat lead off here. And if we want, we could even maybe, Donnie, kind of go conference by conference. So maybe let's just start with who you liked in the NFC and where you saw the value in that market.
Yeah, in the NFC, it doesn't seem too easy to me because so many things can happen. Injuries, it's football. You know, it's hard to be a repeat Super Bowl champion. I believe the last time a repeat Super Bowl champion was by who? One Tom Brady. So he's going to try to go for that this year. But I think this is a little bit different, Kevin. If we just start in the NFC with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the FanDuel Sportsbook sitting at 3-1 price to win it, usually you're fat and you're happy once you win a Super Bowl. Guys want to get paid. They leave. You lose 5 to 6 starters because you put all in your chips in for one season. Can't pay all these guys once the season ends and they leave. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers paid every single player on their roster and made them happy. And, oh, yeah, Tom Brady is back, and they have a 100% vaccination rate between their coaches and their players. That's a great start here heading into the 2021 season, which will see them play the Dallas Cowboys. So I do think they are the best team. And, hey, well, they're the best odds here. It's an easy pick. I just see them better than I've seen the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be a good football team. When they get to the playoffs, they get punched in the mouth by a physical football team, just like they did by Tampa Bay and exited last year. The year before that, San Francisco handed them their lunch in San Francisco. So it's something that we sort of get used to. The 49ers, they're going to battle with the Rams. Maybe they're not going to be able to get the top seed, which gives you that advantage of home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The AFC, to me, Kevin, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, sit up top. But I have to say, rallying and sort of with a correlation here, Josh Allen, big season, Buffalo Bills. I bought into that price here, and I did bet the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC at plus 550, coupled with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here at plus 300 here to get out of the NFC.
So the one thing for me, Donnie, as I went through this NFC here, is you take those top six teams, right, from the Bucs and it wraps out to the Cowboys. And Tampa deserves to be the favorite. Not just because they won the Super Bowl, because they bring back the entire team that won the Super Bowl. Because at this point, who wants to bet against Tom Brady? How does anybody ever bet against Tom Brady, it feels like, when it comes to putting the results up on the board? Here's the interesting thing for me. When I look at the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Cowboys, you're talking about incredible offenses. Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Devontae Adams, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper. You have all of the weaponry there. Are they balanced enough on the defensive side of the football to get across the finish line? The Niners are a team that we've seen go to the Super Bowl the last time they were fully healthy. We don't know what that quarterback situation is going to be when it's all said and done. We know Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start week one. We know that they're being loyal to Jimmy Garoppolo, but we know Trey Lance is lurking. And I know that when we talk about the legitimate contenders in the NFC, no matter who you are, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to check in as that last quarterback. Nobody's making a case for Jimmy G above Dak, Rodgers, Russ, Brady, or Matthew Stafford. And that's why the Rams at plus 700 jumped out to me, Donnie, because when I'm looking for the balance, trust on both sides of the football in the way that you have with the Tampa Bay Bucs, the next closest thing to me is the Los Angeles Rams at that plus 700 number. I worry a little bit about the defense taking a touch of a step back. They lost some pieces in the secondary, and Brandon Staley no longer coaches their defense, but coaches the Los Angeles Chargers. But Jalen Ramsey remains. Aaron Donald remains. And still a lot of the key pieces for them remain. And why I like the Rams, Donnie, is because I think they can afford. Let's just say they go from the second best defense in football to the seventh best defense in football. I think they could afford that drop-off because their offense is going to improve. They won a road playoff game last year in Seattle with a quarterback that Sean McVay didn't even want on the field in Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford is an above-average quarterback, and I'm sorry, but you can't say the same for Goff. Goff outside of McVay, I do not know what that's going to look like, and I would worry if I were a Detroit Lions fan, although maybe not. Maybe you don't want the guy anyway. But you're going to have Stafford now, Donnie, and I think the best situation of his career. I know the guy played with Calvin, but next to Sean McVay, and you hear McVay, man, this guy is giddy over having Matthew Stafford at his quarterback. And again, this is a guy in Sean McVay, Donnie, that's been to the Super Bowl before. I just think that Rams plus 700 number provides a lot of value.
It does provide a lot of value, and I've been getting higher and higher on the Rams as the summer moved forward, and now we head up to week one where it usually was 49ers, 49ers, 49ers for me. That has swept to I do think the Rams are the best team out there in the NFC West, and if you see the graphic that we have up on the screen, you know, talking about Super Bowl champions on top of that, if I think the Bucs are actually going to win the NFC, I do think the Bucs overall the best team in the NFL, but there's a couple price points here in the Super Bowls. You see me with my Super Bowl champion here, the Bucs at a plus 650 price, but you know what I also did as well. Look, I'm high on the Buffalo Bills, and I want to correlate as many bets as possible here, and also take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Have a nice little, you know, bet going on. If you wager $50 on a team to win a Super Bowl, every single win in the regular season, you pick up an extra $5 for that. So the Buffalo Bills win 10 games. That's $50 in free bets back in your pocket on top of the $50 bet that you made. Obviously, if they cash that ticket with the Buffalo Bills, which I did take at plus 1,200, that's a nice price. So in effect here, if I can get a Super Bowl matchup here between the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I am going to be home free. Do I want it to happen? Sure. Is it a long shot to get there? Probably, because it's hard to pick the winner of both conferences and then have it hold up throughout the regular season through injuries, through COVID, through everything that takes place. But I think I'm in prime position here. If the Buffalo Bills have a good season, Kevin, I'm probably going to be very profitable on the end of it. Because keep in mind, sitting on those 12-1 tickets here, not a bad option if you have both of those teams in the Super Bowl, or even if you only have one side and somebody else like the Green Bay Packers meets the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. You can hedge and make some money here, but there are some really good bets here on the FanDuel Sportsbook that you can place in the preseason before everything gets underway this weekend.
And let me just say, too, in terms of that, how that promo works there, if you're somebody that is unsure what you want to do, my guy, our guy JY, James Young, hit me up. He goes, hey, man, I want to get involved with this promo. Should I just bet the Chiefs? Yeah, love that move. I'm getting, you're getting $5 back for every single win.
Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs win total 12 and a half. Again, bad season. You're going to make like $50 for the Chiefs. They go 10 and 7. That's like the worst case scenario. So I think the Chiefs make a lot of sense. And here's the reality, too, Donnie. As I was spinning it through the AFC, I don't know. Maybe I hate Buffalo. Maybe that's just going to become what it is. Maybe I am not for the people of Buffalo there. But it was between the Chiefs and the Ravens for me. And why I think I found myself going towards Baltimore again is just trying to play the value here. Kansas City's plus 250 to win the AFC. By the time that we get ourselves to January and we're about to, you know, play legitimate postseason football there, how much lower is that Chiefs number going to be? Lower, if they're the number one overall seed, no doubt, but how much lower? Baltimore plus 650, though, Donnie, again, is a team that last year when we entered the regular season, they were neck and neck in terms of prices with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a team last year that felt like they had this massive down season. They went 11-5 and won a road playoff game. And that, I don't think, can be forgotten because a lot of people are trying to forget it. Lamar will never perform in the playoffs. Lamar will never perform in the playoffs. Well, he won last year on the road against the Tennessee Titans. Why does nobody care about that? He went out there, put up nearly 100 yards on the ground, and scored a touchdown. And that matters. As, again, if you're with us on the TV side, you're watching Lamar run in. Stop undervaluing what makes this guy so special. I don't believe the league has figured out Lamar Jackson. It was a hot or not that we did earlier during our division previews because there was this question about, hey, have they all figured out Lamar Jackson? No. Like Lamar Jackson at 17 to 1 to an NFL MVP, I don't think is bad. And we know, Donnie, that, again, this is a team that performs on both sides of the football. Defensively, they've been bringing it for years. And John Harbaugh has gone out there and put up double-digit wins as a team in four of his last five seasons. Again, that's a Super Bowl champion in John Harbaugh. You're talking about pedigree when you're looking to make these plays there. And I think plus 650 on them to win the AFC or 14-1 to win the Super Bowl, some really nice numbers.
No, there are some really nice numbers there also. And I know we like to take a look at some of those deep dives with the odds to win the Super Bowl at the FanDuel Sportsbook because we picked a couple favorites here. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs to win 5-1, the Buffalo Bills 12-1. They are the favorites along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at plus 650. If we slide it down here, Kevin, quickly, there's a sharp cutoff because once you get to the Cleveland Browns at 16-1, then you get outside the 20-1 and lowers here. I'm high on the Cleveland Browns. 16-1 is not too far gone a conclusion for me to jump back in that race. There's a lot of really good football teams here and an exciting 2021 season. Any long shots that you're looking at, Kevin, outside of these guys that we've picked?
Yeah, if I'm swinging for the fences in the NFC, 30-1 on Jameis Winston to figure it out under Sean Payton, a guy who's consistently put up results as a head coach in this league. And Tua Tagovailoa to find that Alabama form with a phenomenal defense and a good head coach in Brian Flores at 33-1, I think are both legitimate chances. Also, too, if the Cardinals figure some stuff out there, 48-1, Kyler Murray's another interesting choice there. Those are your NFL previews, Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right here on the grid. Where do you got to follow us?
You know the deal.
At SportsGrid. At SportsGrid TV. Keep up to date with everything that we've got going on over on those platforms as well. Get all the latest betting information that you need and breaking news at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Getting close to Follow Back Friday as well. Everybody's favorite day of the week. Major League Baseball chatter. Man, oh man, I love a good Major League Baseball board, no matter what. Yesterday was a really interesting slate to work through. Yesterday night, I always love watching a result play out like this, where you had the White Sox and the A's, and this was a game that had the first five innings bet cash for people, and then it just sat all game long at that number. It was over 4.5, and it just sat at, you know, that 4-1 total, five runs, and then eventually powered through in the eighth inning. It kind of got to a push. But here's the thing, Donnie. Yesterday, I know you were looking at the White Sox to put up runs, because what did we say? Well, every single day it makes sense that the White Sox are going to put up runs. Well, the A's have a chance probably to get some runs of their own. You'll notice nearly a minus 180 price on Oakland, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Dallas Keuchel is a guy we do not know if he'll actually be a part of the Chicago White Sox postseason rotation.
Yeah, brutal over the last 30 days here, Kevin, for Dallas Keuchel. A 6.14 xFIP number, which is astronomically high, and that leads right into walking too many guys and only striking out 8% of the batter. That's not a misprint there. 8% of the batters of the past 30 days, which he's faced over 100 of those. When you take a look at how he stacks up against lefty and righty splits here, Kevin, keep in mind Keuchel is a left-handed pitcher. Lefties, a 403 weighted on base percentage. Righties, 423. Both between lefties and righties, a high ISO power number. To lefties, a 182. And to righties, a 206. But here's the issue that lies. You look at Oakland, they haven't really hit left-handed pitching all that well, particularly over the last month here. If we look at some of the weighted on-base percentages, Harrison out of the leadoff hole, 369 weighted on-base average versus lefties over 25 at-bats over the past 30 days. That's good. But take a look at some of the other guys in the lineup. Starlin Marte, 279. Matt Olson, 261. Mark Canha, 275. Gomes, 268. Pinder, 184, and Andrews, 196. It's not a lot of inspiring at-bats that you're getting versus lefties, but keep in mind, this lefty is not Chris Sale on the mound. This is Dallas Keuchel. Doesn't throw all that hard and certainly not locating his pitches here and getting knocked around. If you're going to try to end your losing streak or get back into the playoff race, as it seems for the Oakland Athletics, you better beat Dallas Keuchel tonight here, Kevin.
The Keuchel situation is just really interesting because it was a guy, I feel like, Donnie, that they, you know, they brought in pedigree, they expected a lot, so it's probably going to be difficult for them to move on. Then again, if you get to the postseason, if you're able to shrink the rotation enough, Rodon, Lynn, Giolito is enough probably for any team to work their way through. I'm kind of working in reverse order here, but I cannot help myself, Donnie. Dodgers-Cardinals jumps right off of the page. Because we've seen St. Louis before. They take a step up in class, and they're shown to not be all that great. You'll notice, if you're again with us on the TV side, that Cardinals money line there shows minus 116. Well, it looks like enough people maybe on the West Coast are starting to wake up, and they said, what'd they do to our Dodgers? Dogs against who? Well, the Dodgers are now minus 120. But again, if people don't even know, Donnie, that this number's been shifting around, I'm sure there's going to be folks saying, the Dodgers, minus 120. I don't care who's pitching. I don't care who's in the lineup. They're beating the St. Louis Cardinals. Total of 8 right now in this baseball game here. What do you think about Cards, Dodgers, Wainwright getting the ball, who's been good for St. Louis?
Fantastic stuff here, because these are some of the games that we like to dip into, because you're right. Usually when the Dodgers don't have a starting pitcher, they're still minus 200 and let it rip like they were yesterday. So now we're changing that up a little bit today as a slight favorite here to the Cardinals. Say, what? What is that? Doesn't matter who's pitching. I'm always going to take the Dodgers. I hear you on that, but listen to what Adam Wainwright has done, Kevin, here over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball. An xFIP number, very good, 3.68, striking out over 20% of the batters that he's faced, walking less than 5%. That is a great start, but take a look here, Kevin. He's faced 107 batters over the past 30 days. Weighted on base average to lefties, Kevin, a 191. How about to righties? A 212. ISO power numbers, keep in mind that 0.170, about the Major League Baseball average. So anything elevated is bad for a pitcher. Look at Wainwright to lefties, 0.075. To righties, 0.030. He's been sensational over the past 30 days. Is that enough to sway the opinion to say, I'm going to go against the Los Angeles Dodgers because it looks like maybe another bullpen game or White might be the estimated starter tonight for the Dodgers? It's very interesting that sort of plays those mind tricks on you saying, wait, even money, I can get the Dodgers, sign me up. I don't care who's in the lineup or who's pitching. I hear you on that, but there's a reason why this line is set. The Cardinals still looking to try to make their way into the playoffs, possibly, obviously, from the wild card position. But Wainwright's been really good, Kevin, here. It's going to be a battle of the minds here. Do you trust the numbers, or you just say, I don't trust this number for the game itself. I need to take the Dodgers at this cheap price.
Maybe you try and get out of the door, Donnie, right, with one of those first five wagers on the Cardinals. But I just never know with St. Louis. Like, the other day, the fact that they got walk-off with a grand slam, that was obviously a tough scene there. Another game I want to bring up yesterday. First of all, it's a good thing actually yesterday wasn't Dinger Tuesday because I would have lost my mind. There was a game that had 15 runs in it that I 1,000% would have picked a home run from. There was one home run, and that is Giants-Rockies. Now, here's the wild thing about this game is the total was 11.5. Donnie talked about it. He goes, here's the thing. You might need the Giants to do all of it. They did. They scored 12 runs. Final score, 12-3. Well, what do you know, Donnie? They swing it back once again here. 11.5 is the total for some day baseball at Coors Field. I don't know. Should we be laying 8.5 runs with the Giants again?
Good baseball team, really good baseball team, trying to fend off those Dodgers, who seems like every time the Giants win, the Dodgers counter back. DeSclafani is going to be on the mound today, last 30 days in Major League Baseball, a 4.85 xFIP number. If we take a look, though, his splits aren't that bad here. To lefties, he's faced 32 batters over the last month. 280 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 308. But we do know the prowess of the bats typically at home here for the Colorado Rockies. They usually hit, but yesterday Webb was sensational on the mound, held them down. It wasn't surprising that, yes, they scored the 12 runs by themselves. You didn't even need the Rockies to participate, as we like to say. John Gray's going to be on the mound, a 4.32 xFIP number, striking at close to 33% of the batters he's faced over the past month here. But he has some high elevated numbers here. Weighted on base average to lefties, Kevin, a 404. To righties, a 355. You're going to get a nice mix in the lineup today, particularly from the left-hand side, anticipated for the Giants, Kevin. Lestelle, Belt, Wade, Crawford, Yastrzemski, and Duggar, all from the left-hand side, which again, Gray, a righty, a 404 weighted on base percentage for lefties. They should be able to do some damage today and keep that lead out there in the NL West.
The Dodgers, I can't believe that they couldn't hold on to that division lead for a series, man.
Nope.
Oh, this NL West race is one of my absolute favorite things in the world. Let's bring up the Mets-Marlins game here because I'm trying to avoid bringing up one game, and Donnie already knows what game that is. By the way, Donnie was right yesterday. I'm not getting to it yet. Hopefully, we don't get to it at all. Rich Hill, Donnie, is a minus 120 road favorite against Alcantara and the Miami Marlins here. 7.5 is the total. The New York Mets doing what we thought they would do. Look, they played only the Giants and the Dodgers. They got their heads beat in. Now they play only the Nationals and the Marlins, and they win every day.
Yeah, something's got to give in this game. And some of these matchups are fun to try to break down because look at Alcantara over the past 30 days. Look at his xFIP number. Absolutely elite, Kevin. A 2.91, striking out to close to 30% of the batters he's faced. Not giving many, very many free passes here. Oh, 4.5% walk rate. But if let's take a look to see what he does well, and then we're going to flip it over to the Mets because I told you yesterday, nobody likes to back the Mets, particularly with team totals. Last night, I thought they matched up well. They got 9 runs across the board, easily covering their team total by about, I believe, the third or the fourth inning yesterday. But as we take a look here, 51 batters Alcantara has faced from the right-hand side. Keep in mind, he is a right-handed pitcher. A 174 weighted on base average and an ISO power number 0.022. That is sensational. But if we take a look from the left-hand side, more of a average 313 weighted on base percentage towards lefties, but a little bit higher ISO power number at 0.214. But here's the crux of the argument here. Right-handed pitching that the Mets have gone up as over the past 30 days, they've done very well. Villar, look at the ISO power numbers here. We'll just centralize on that. Villar, 300. Lindor, 333. Pete Alonso, 278. Conforto, 232. Baez, 400. Pilar, 333. Again, ISO power numbers. Anything above that 0.165 to 0.170 is above average in Major League Baseball. A lot of those are elevated. If we're just taking a look at that pedigree, Kevin, that we like to say, the Mets struggle against good teams. The Phillies struggle against good teams. The Braves struggle against good teams, but pound the lower teams in the division. It really plays into this. The only question is, can you trust Rich Hill in this outing? I think you might be able to, because at the looks of the offensive perspective here for the Marlins tonight, I don't really feel it all that much. Nuts are nobody for me in this game, Kevin.
Very interesting spot on that board. Let's see, Donnie, here on a Wednesday, what has been circled up? I'd have to assume the Rays, because... Well, you're doing a bad job, Don, if you don't circle the Rays. I feel like you just have to at least circle them, and then maybe you can cross them out later. But who's circled here on a Wednesday?
There's three games circled today. And by the way, you're like this. Okay. No, and again, it goes in order. It's not between which I like the best, but Toronto Blue Jays circled here early. So just letting that one out here. The Atlanta Braves are a circled play, and also the Milwaukee Brewers are a circled play today. So let's focus on that game here, because some big implications. We know Milwaukee's headed to the playoffs. The Phillies trying to stay above water here and stay in the NL wildcard race. So if we take a look at Peralta being on the mound today, a 4.53 xFIP number, he's been getting damaged from the right-hand side, at least over the past 30 days, a 474 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 273. You do have some decent bats in the lineup today, but the problem here for the Philadelphia Phillies, let's take a look. Peralta's a righty. Odubel Herrera, lefty. Bryce Harper, lefty. Didi Gregorius, lefty. Miller, lefty. Galvis, lefty. And Peralta's done very well versus left-handers over the past month, a 284 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 0.48. Now, you say, well, Donnie, you didn't circle the Phillies. You circled the Milwaukee Brewers. And here's why. Gibson, over the past 30 days, he's been pretty good for the Phillies, but he has an extremely high xFIP number, Kevin, 5.17, which is the direct correlation. He doesn't strike out a lot of batters, only 15% of the batters over the past 30 days that he has struck out. Here's the issue that comes into play. Gibson, a right-handed pitcher. Take a look how he's been handling right-handed batters over the past month. 270 weighted on base percentage, 0.027 ISO power number. Kevin, that is elite, but... look at the way he's handled lefties over the past month. A 417 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 309. That's not through 5, 10, 15, or 20 batters, Kevin. That's through 61 batters over the past month. So if we line up, what's the theme? Left-handed hitters damage him. Wong, lefty. Escobar, lefty. Yelich, lefty. Narvaez, lefty. Tellez, lefty. Bradley, lefty. Only two righties in that lineup, which leaves six lefties. They might be able to do some damage tonight, and that's why I've circled the Milwaukee Brewers as a possible play later tonight if that lineup looks as strong as I think it does.
I like it. Also relevant, the Astros Mariners and the Kendall Graveman Bowl playing early, 2 p.m. game Eastern time. And, of course, Yankees Blue Jays. I hate this game. I hate this series. Donnie circled Toronto. The total's 10. Toronto's going to win this game probably like 8-1. The Yankees are terrible again. They never hit. It's miserable. I bet Toronto to miss the playoffs. Yesterday, literally, they were the only AL wildcard contender that won. It is the absolute worst of times, when just short while ago, it was the best of times. That'll do it for me here. Up next, Ariel joins Donnie on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Best segment of the day for the early line on a Wednesday, and it feels like Christmas Eve with the NFL on deck on Thursday. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carried you through the morning, like 7 to NFL 9, clips. Setting the table, but now the time, it's ready to go on the morning after 9 to 12. Ariel Epstein, Ben Stevens, ready to rock and roll, and I have to say, Ariel, we're feeling the Buffalo Bills here, aren't we?
I am loving the Buffalo Bills. We were just talking about this in the commercial break, Donnie. There is an option for a promo on the FanDuel Sportsbook where you can go bet, I think it's a max bet of $50. You go and bet who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. Now, that's not where it ends. Then you get $5 for every win that that team ends up having. If you could pick a team that has 10 wins, you're going to make your money back by winning those $5 for each win. Plus, you really hope if they have 10 wins at least that you're going to have a team that is in the running for Super Bowl. That's why I'm loving the Buffalo Bills right now.
There it is, 12-1 price. If you could take that ticket down with the Buffalo Bills with a world champion, I'm also piggyback there. I'm invested a little bit in Josh Allen in the MVP race, and we are all footballed up, as we like to say. But I do know you have a little spot in your heart for the Baltimore Ravens, who picked up a running back here, which may be able to help them here in the 2021 regular season.
I do like the pickup of Le'Veon Bell. He was the one, aside from maybe Todd Gurley, that I said, you know, Le'Veon Bell, if he could get back to catching balls outside of the backfield, he's going to give you what J.K. Dobbins was what you're missing by missing J.K. Dobbins. You also now have a more depleted running back room because there has been some more injuries over the last couple of weeks. It's a decent ad. We'll see if Le'Veon can be the way he was prior to getting cursed by the New York Jets. I don't know what his health condition's looking like right now. I don't know how healthy he really is and how good his legs are. However, I am very excited to see what another running back to the room can do. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with Le'Veon right now just on the practice squad.
Fantastic stuff here as we look forward to, as I said again, NFL action starting tomorrow. The Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Exciting times here. But you guys want to hold on over the next 3 hours. Ariel and Ben have you covered here. Great guest here. And Ben actually said one of the best guests he ever had on yesterday was me. So enjoy the show. The Morning After coming up right next to you.